Okay. All right. Is the mic working?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Great. Okay. All right. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to talk about a program that I've started at Red Hat called Kernel Development Learning Pipeline that I run with a small group of engineers kind of as a side project. So first, I'll talk about, you know, what it is, first of all, you know, why it's a good idea, why we think it's a good idea and we're doing it. A little bit about the program and some of the growth that we've had in the program over the past year, 2 years approximately. And then conclude with some resources about the program. So first of all, what is KDLP? So that stands for Kernel Development Learning Pipeline. Credit for that acronym to Julia Denham, actually. And we are building a comprehensive pipeline for Linux kernel talent and low-level talent more generally. Because as it turns out, it's, you know, there's not a lot of younger people getting into the kernel. It's not an extremely popular area of study. It's barely really taught in school. So right now, the main component is, you know, we have a course that we're teaching at UMass Lowell and also on the Linux Foundations platform. We are trying to recruit interns from this course and from this program and through our kind of our network. We bring people in, and then they serve as TAs and help develop the course and improve the content. And then ideally, you know, we bring them in and recruit them full time. That's the goal. So yeah, why is this a good idea? So like I was saying, a lot of senior Linux kernel engineers are getting somewhat close to retirement. That's kind of definitely a much higher, I think, average age in kernel and in like low-level engineering, at least in the U.S. that I've noticed than in other areas of software engineering. And it takes a very long time for people to learn the Linux kernel, especially today, because a lot of people don't even learn C in school, and they're generally, you know, separated from a lot of the low-level kind of computer science concepts, things that people, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, so I'm told, were, you know, learned kind of as a standard thing. Today, it's, you know, it's sort of a niche topic. I mean, there are people getting into it, but you know, only kind of in niche communities at certain schools, you know, if you're exposed to, you know, certain people or certain online communities. The kernel itself is barely taught. I mean, people take maybe one class in operating systems, and a lot of the tools, like some of the more advanced Git usage, for example, it's difficult to learn that kind of stuff. Like, how do people learn how to do email patches without trying and failing and just getting roasted online? It's kind of difficult. So for a lot of companies, it's difficult to find talent. I mean, I know, you know, at Red Hat, it can be somewhat difficult to find people who are, you know, have some Linux kernel knowledge and, you know, are actually interested in doing it. You know, there's lots of people who, you know, are capable of doing it and just maybe don't like it that much. So, of course, you know, the way that we're pitching this to Red Hat and, you know, the way that it's a good idea for any company is that we think we can bring more value to the company for a lower cost. But for the community, what we are trying to bring is to train the next generation of developers from all sorts of different backgrounds, as opposed to just people who, you know, like happen to bump into somebody at a recruiting event, which is how I got into the kernel. I just happened to run into somebody at an event that he wasn't even supposed to be at, in fact. So, a little overview. So there's kind of three main sections of the program. So the first is this kernel development course that we've developed that is taught at UMass Lowell. So we've created this from scratch using, originally based on the Linux Device Drivers 3rd Edition book, but we've, you know, kind of gone further from that. That's actually one of the latest books on Linux kernel engineering and is published in 2005. But yeah, so we've been working on, you know, developing our own curriculum with a number of different labs and, you know, some slide decks and kind of a whole, you know, a set of you know, things that people could do to learn the kernel. And then from there, we try to bring people into internships as we're able to do that, or other kind of more second-level or hands-on experiences where they can further develop those skills. And then ideally bring them in as full-time engineers at Red Hat, or, I mean, the beauty of open source is if they get recruited somewhere else or if they go work somewhere else in the open source community, that's a win for everyone in the community. It's a win for all the companies working with the community, right? Because everyone working on the kernel is working on the kernel. So a little more about the course. The goal is to introduce students to Linux kernel development. You know, obviously we can't teach them the entire kernel. We could barely even introduce them to one subsystem, but the goal is to teach them kind of what they need to learn to teach themselves, and to teach them what they need to know to work in one of these open source communities, specifically the Linux kernel community, but those skills, I think, are pretty applicable to other kind of more niche open source areas that can be somewhat intimidating for a lot of people to get into. We mostly just require C language skills. I mean, that's obviously the most important thing when you're working in the kernel. It's a basic Linux experience, you know, some programming experience in general. But you know, not you don't need a ton of Linux kernel experience to get started. But really, the most critical thing is C. And so we teach a kind of an overview of just various kernel features and subsystems. Kind of describe like a map of the kernel. You know, what there is. What how the different pieces connect together, how you can interact with it. We approach through device driver development. That's a good way to get people into, you know, to work with a lot of the different APIs, because to write a device driver, you need to interact with a lot of different areas, and you end up building something that's a somewhat kind of complete piece that works on its own. And then we introduce people to more advanced usage of Git. I mean, people may be familiar with GitHub, but you know, believe it or not, a lot of people don't know the difference between Git and GitHub. So we help out with that and get them started with email patches and rebases and things like that. We also talk about BPF trace and other tracing, which are things that I don't think BPF trace or BPF in general is taught in any school that I know of, at least not in undergrad courses. You know, and C-scope and other ways to explore large projects and repositories, because you know, in a computer science program, people generally don't get exposed to working on like large ongoing projects. You know, you work on some one and done thing, and you know, then you send it in and no one else looks at it and you get your grade and you move on, right? So we're introducing people to working on larger code bases, which is something that's somewhat unusual for a university course. So of course, all these course materials and the assignments, completely open source. We've linked it. It's all on our website. And we're continuously improving it. You know, the source for the website is also on GitHub. You know, if anyone has any suggestions or changes, we're always open to them. So we have undergraduate and graduate level university courses that run at UMass Lowell that we've created over the past couple of years. It became kind of a full-fledged course in the fall semester of last year. So it's relatively new. And this semester, we're also running it as a kind of dual program with the Linux Foundation's mentorship platform. So we have people applying on there to, I will also talk a little bit more about that later, but they essentially run through the course and kind of work with, at the same schedule and at the same pace as the people at UMass Lowell, but they're from around the world and they don't need to be enrolled as students. They can come from anywhere. All right, and kind of the bottom line is we try to reimagine how to teach this kind of material from first principles, because it doesn't really make sense to teach it from a typical, like, memorize this and do the exam kind of perspective, right? The goal is to get people to be able to explain things in their own words, and you know, to work on open source projects and work in open source communities. So we've replaced exams with presentations where they actually explain the work that they've done in their own words to their peers. So from there, we recruit people as interns and try to bring them in. So we we find people in the course who are enthusiastic and capable. So by the time we bring them in to the internship, they also have a lot of the prerequisite knowledge that they would need. And so they're able to hit the ground running and do a lot more in their 3 to 6 month period or longer than they otherwise would have. Because I had the manager who hired me at Red Hat originally as a co-op, he said he didn't like to do summer internships in the kernel, because by the time 3 months are over, they've just gotten onboarded, they've just started to understand how to work with the Linux kernel, and then it's over, and then they gotta go. So he only really did co-ops. But the goal with this is, if we kind of vet people ahead of time and we give them the skills that they need and give them kind of, you know, the Git skills and the, you know, they compile the kernel and they have the background, they actually can get some value from an internship, and we're more likely to bring people into internships who actually want to work in the kernel, and then they're more likely to go off and, you know, and work in the kernel in general or work in open source communities. So we pair them up with rel engineers, and you know, they work on various initiatives within Red Hat that are, you know, that are need people to learn these kind of new and old, but combinations of old and new skills. But the goal is to train these new people to work in that in those areas. So we also bring them in to help with our program, and we've had people come in. They take the course, and then they come in, and they turn around, and then they're TAs, and they work on improving the course. Maybe they do a couple lectures here and there. They do some grading, and they kind of serve as TAs. So another thing that we are doing is we have this kind of new kernel devs group within Red Hat, which I thought I'll just briefly mention. It's a little bit tangential, but you know, once people get into Red Hat and when people are working in the kernel, especially in a remote job, which a lot of these positions are, people get very separated. They get very siloed. There's not a lot of socialization, so we run a group to just bring people together for a meeting with very little agenda. You know, occasionally we have a presentation here and there, but just to talk about things and share concepts and tools and questions and and it's a Red Hat specific thing, so they can ask about specific things related to their job in a place where managers are allowed, but it's not a specific structured meeting for a business purpose. And I think people who you might get that in an office somewhere when you're just walking around and talking to people, but it's a little bit more difficult to get when you're in a remote position. So we also bring interns who we've recruited into that group, and people from elsewhere within Red Hat who are interested in the kernel, and they can ask questions and find resources. And if they enjoy it, they can switch into the kernel. Because there are actually a number of people who are interested, and they just don't know where to start. There are just not a lot of good resources. So now I'll talk about some of the growth of this program over the last couple of years. So first of all, we've partnered with Red Hat's main educational initiative, Red Hat Academy, which we found out about only through doing this program. But they work with universities mainly on delivering and facilitating kind of systems management course, system administration and site reliability engineering, kind of the more, the standard kind of Red Hat certifications that they do. But they didn't have much software engineering. In fact, I don't think they had any software engineering component at all, so they were happy to work with us, and we're happy to work with them. And they made us these nice posters, which we have down here if anyone's interested. Or I guess they're called like leave behind sheets technically, but no. We also ran a workshop last year for interns and co-ops in Ireland, and that was just kind of every other week, kind of a casual thing. Over time we had fewer and fewer people, to be honest, but the people who stayed around really enjoyed it, and I think hopefully some of them will end up working in the space or in open source generally, and hopefully the feedback for them was generally fairly positive. We've also been connecting to various educational programs in different countries. A lot of the stuff's very preliminary, but we're hoping to kind of package what we've done in our course in a way that can be replicated at other places, at other universities and other countries, to bring people in from different places in the world. And then we've also partnered with the Linux Foundation, specifically their mentorship platform, which I will talk about next. So, like I was saying, the Linux Foundation. So we have just put our course on the Linux Foundation's platform essentially as a mentorship, but it's the same thing as the course. We worked with Shua Khan. She's been very helpful. She runs this Linux Foundation's mentorship platform, and great person to get in touch with if you're interested in learning the kernel or have questions about this. She's also a kernel maintainer, if you're not familiar. So we are running the same course, and this is kind of experimental. We're running the same schedule with the same assignments with a group who are doing the course for credit at UMass Lowell, and at the same time, people who are just applied online, and they're doing it. They're people, on random continents. Some of them are students. Some of them are working. Some of them are doing, I have no idea, honestly. Some of them are just probably, having a good time. But they're doing the same assignments and on the same schedule, and they submit their assignments to a different mailing list than the UMass Lowell cohort. But they're in a shared Discord server, and they're interacting, and we're seeing how that goes. And it's an extremely diverse group of mentees. We have people from I think like five different continents. People from various places in Europe, a couple in America, South America, someone in Mexico. Like three or four from Africa, Nigeria, Kenya. So very interesting group, a couple in India as well. So a couple of statistics on what we've been able to do. It's a fairly new program, but I am happy to show some results. We were able to hire two people full-time from internships who originally did the went through the class. This was during a year that was very difficult to hire people. There was a hiring freeze, so I think two is still it's a lot more than zero. Two people who did co-ops or internships with us were recruited to Amazon at Microsoft, but one of them liked Red Hat so much and liked working with open source so much better than Amazon that he's pretty interested in coming back, leaving Amazon and coming back to Red Hat, which is pretty cool. But overall, we've had seven interns and co-ops who have been trained and have gone through this particular program via this KDLP thing. And last semester, we had our biggest class, well, until this semester, we had 12 students, undergraduate and mostly graduate students. Graduate and undergraduate courses are the same, which I found out, same content. And we have about a couple more than a dozen students this semester. And the course is actively going on right now. It just started a couple weeks ago. And I think about a dozen in the LFX mentorship as well. And this is by far the most diverse group by gender and location, which is pretty interesting. So now, just briefly, some program information. So the team is, well, there's me. Julie Denham is the program manager. I think she's in the chat answering questions, if anyone's interested, back in Boston. Charles Marable, he's the content lead for the course. And Dennis Alexandrov, he is an intern who's been extended and also a TA. He's been working on the course since last summer, originally went through the course from McGill University. And yeah, acknowledgments. I just want to give a shout out to two Red Hatters in particular. First, Heidi Dempsey, the Research and Innovation Director in North America. She's been a longtime supporter of this program from the beginning, from like, you know, before it was even an idea, you know, when we were talking about doing something in like February 2019. So her support's been great, and you know, recommend you know, doing research and innovation with her if anyone's, you know, interested in doing that. And of course, Mike McGrath, the vice president of RHEL, who is the executive sponsor for this program within Red Hat. Now, a couple of resources. We have a mailing list, which is a link up there, which we pretty much just use for giving a quarterly update newsletter, which we just started this quarter. And it's read-only, so you're not going to get spammed with a ton of information. If you subscribe to that mailing list, you get invited to a weekly office hour session that happens Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time, which just for asking questions about the program or the kernel in general, or you can just send me or one of us an email. And then on the right, we have our website. We have the section of our website that talks about the information, specifically the structure and content of the course. We have the page in the UMass Lowell Catalog that talks about the, you know, that just has a course description. So. In case anyone's interested in checking that out, and the mentorship page on LFX. Then down there on the bottom right, we do have a crowdfunding page on LFX if you want to support the program development and diverse engineers. It's a very, you know, we'll be able to bring people on through that platform as TAs, potentially give them, you know, bring them on and continue them kind of beyond what we're able to do with just Red Hat. All right, any questions?
Hi. I think there is an offer and demand problem. If you consider every Linux kernel developer, there will be like 1,000 JavaScript developers. And also people at the university, if you give them the choice between JavaScript and Linux, they will have more opportunities going with the JavaScript. They cannot do a mistake. However, if they go with the kernel, like, I don't know, in my country, for example, there's a lot less jobs, and you have less opportunities. So what's your opinion on this? Because people now have the choice between like classic software development and kernel software development.
So if I understand that correctly, you're saying that there's fewer jobs in the kernel. Yeah. And so, you know, what would I say about just about what it was like 1,000 to 1 or something you said? Well, I mean, that's true, but the competition for those jobs is much more intense. It's much kind of broader, you know, skill area. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I'm not condemning JavaScript developers. JavaScript's fine. It's necessary. You know, the web runs on it for all its problems. But it's also true that, I mean, working in the kernel, you know, the Linux kernel, there are fewer jobs, but there are a number of very solid jobs. And it doesn't, learning Linux kernel skills is somewhat transferable to other areas of development. You don't have to work as a Linux kernel developer. You don't have to, you know, go to Red Hat and work on RHEL and do backports or whatever, right? You can kind of just do it on your own. You can do, you know, just some other low-level project, and just having knowledge of the kernel and how it works and the knowledge necessary to work on the kernel, I think could benefit people in many other areas and just is an overall boost to people's skills that is somewhat rare to find these days. So, yeah, even for a JavaScript developer, if they know how the kernel works and if they know, you know, behind the scenes, you know, what's going on at a system level, I think that is can't be anything but a good thing.
Thanks for the talk. I have a question about the audience. So is it mainly targeting students at the college level and then partnering with university? Or do you also consider commercial program like existing software developers that want to switch to more low-level kernel development?
Yeah, so the course at UMass Lowell is, you know, a course at UMass Lowell, it's for people enrolled at UMass Lowell. But the program on LFX, the whole idea of putting it on there is that we could accept people from anywhere in the world doing anything, students, non-students, you know, US, non-US, whatever. So any background, as long as they have some knowledge of C, good internet access, decent English, and a computer, then we can take them. The only limitation is our ability to grade the assignments and handle that many students and like the resources that we have to work on the program. Because this is, you know, for the three engineers and, you know, potentially a couple more people who are interested and, you know, a couple of interns, right? This is all a side project for us. Like, I'm mainly a RHEL engineer. That's my main job. Like, this is just a side project. So we don't have a ton of resources. And, well, yeah, we're basically limited by how much time and resources we have to run the program. But we encourage people to apply from all sorts of different backgrounds.
Okay, thank you.
So back in the day when I used to or participated in development of kernel, it required us to basically build the entire mainline. Your slide showed something with Raspberry Pis. Is it feasible to build the entire kernel using a Raspberry Pi?
So yeah, that originally comes from, we used to do a lot more stuff with Raspberry Pis before the chip shortage. It became more difficult to get them. And then, you know, I think generally like a lot of the introductory stuff we were doing didn't require them as much, so we moved somewhat away from them. But yes, we did work with Raspberry Pis, and we were compiling the kernel on the Raspberry Pi. So I was able to do it on the 3. It took a lot of weird tricks, and it took like a day, you know, because I think it was like single-threaded. And on the 4, I could do it. It was a little bit faster, but if you didn't have cooling, the system would overheat unless you used fewer than 4 cores. But you can do it, and in fact, you can install Fedora, you can install CentOS, and you can install RHEL.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah, all right, that was my question, thank you.
Hey, you had said with the alternative, the non-university route for doing it, you've got people who are working at the same time, possibly. I was just wondering, since it's also got, you've got the same assignment schedule, what is the time commitment like for someone trying to get into it but might have full-time work?
What is the time commitment like? I guess it depends how quickly you complete the assignments.
Okay, I mean, so it's...
Well, the lectures are the sessions that we have, which are, you know, on Google Meet. They're also recorded, and then we post them. They're about there are two of them per week, generally, and they're each an hour and 15 minutes, and it goes for, you know, like a standard 12-week semester. In terms of the assignments, I mean, if you're, you know, I think at the beginning, setting up the environment to send email patches, if you haven't done that before, and compiling the kernel, and, you know, we have one assignment where you write a shell, you know, that can be, I mean, yeah, it depends how familiar you are with some of the concepts. But, think of it as it's just a, like, same commitment as a, you know, a maybe medium to, like, junior to senior level undergraduate computer science course, approximately. I mean, that's how we're designing it.
Sure. Hi, thanks for the talk. Any of these courses, like, I'm curious about backporting and forward porting stuff. So when you're doing this coursework, are you working on a specific version of the kernel? Like, yeah, this course is going to be on 6.2. Because I find that a lot of problems that I run into is, okay, this driver was just introduced, let's say, in October, but I need it on 5.13, so I need to backport it. Mm-hmm. And that might be trivial, right? Might just be copying some files. But if the API has changed in some way, it can be really difficult to figure out how it changed, because the documentation, to my knowledge, is not great there. So is that something that you actually sort of discuss in these courses?
We haven't done backporting specifically. We don't have any assignments that specifically ask for backports, because we design them in a way that, you know, each student is doing, like, relatively unique work, so it's kind of, and, you know, and they're all posting it in a public mailing list. So, you know, we need to figure out how we can kind of either generate assignments or figure out assignments that are basically by design difficult to impossible to cheat in. And so with backport, I mean, we could figure something out. We haven't really looked into it. We talk about, you know, git cherry pick and rebase, and we talk about the background that you would need to do that, and I think we may have done a demonstration of it in the course, but that's a good idea.
I think that's all we are past five. So.
Yeah, okay.
One last question.
One question. Sure.
Quick question.
Do you anticipate that the recent admission of Rust as a programming language, at least for driver development in the Linux kernel, will cause renewed interest, especially among younger talent? And are you already anticipating for that in the program?
Potentially, yeah. We've discussed it, and we've heard some people talking about it. We had a few people who were in the course who were excited about Rust and Rust in the kernel. So we have seen some interest in the kernel. Probably, yeah, it's probably increased interest from young people, I would say. But personally, I need to learn Rust. I don't know Rust.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
So if I remember correctly, years ago there was something like this, YouTube challenge or something like that, you know, are you aware of that?
The YouTube challenge,
there was like, where you were asked, you know, to work on device drivers and then learn online doing patches and send them actually reply, so they were teaching assistants. I think it's not online anymore. Mm-hmm.
What years?
10 years?
I mean, I'm 25.
Let me get the mic working here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.